Hello, you are listening to the Modern Web Podcast, where we explore next generation frameworks, standards, and techniques. I'm Tracy Lee at Lady Lee on Twitter, and you can find us online at modern-web.org.
Hi, this is Zach Chappell. Welcome to the Modern Web Podcast. I'm here today interviewing Bill, and we're going to be talking about training.
Excellent.
So tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
I'm part of the Oasis Digital Angular Bootcamp training. If you've seen the gigantic banner that's still being dwarfed by the cavernous space that we're all in, that's the one up on the wall, the Angular Bootcamp. I joined with them, I guess it was a little over 2 years ago now. I'm an independent developer consultant based out of the St. Louis area, but I work all over the place. And they came to me because I'd made a little bit of a name for myself as someone who'd gotten into Angular fairly early and was doing a lot of cool stuff with it. And they had been doing similar things for a lot of their clients. They're primarily a software development shop. That several of their clients began to ask them, hey, you did great work for us, and now we've got 200 more developers in the basement. Can you come help teach our teams how to do this stuff? So they almost accidentally turned into a training company. So a lot of the developers there, the people who are actually doing the real work, began to do some fairly informal training, found out that they were good at it, and began to really embrace it. And then they reached out to me because they were just full. They couldn't keep up with demand. And it was really funny because I, you know, when they approached me, they're like, every couple of months, maybe you'll do, 3 days of training for us on site in St. Louis. We'll barely impact your schedule. And I'm like, I've done fewer than three of these a month since then. It's been insane demand, and it's only gotten more crazy since then. We typically do on-site work. We do open enrollment classes, for anybody that wants to sign up. We also do, on-site corporate training. And it's a pretty even mix of both. And of course, of late, it's been both Angular 1 and Angular 2. For the last couple of years, it was primarily Angular 1. But the Angular 2 demand has matched up now with Angular 1. But the funny thing is Angular 1 is not slowing down.
Right.
So we're doing both and having a blast. It is so rewarding. I if you'd asked me, 5 years ago, what do you think you'll spend the bulk of your time doing? I would not have said it would be, traveling the globe being an Angular instructor. But it is so great. I've really loved it.
So who's easier to train, the guy fresh out of school or the guy who has 15, 20 years experience?
Well, the guy with 15 or 20 years experience, that person often understands what it means to develop software, in a very high-level, conceptual, philosophical sense, they get that. But they often don't have the most up-to-date skills. And of course, if they've spent, 20 years on the back end, things compared to the environment that we live and breathe, they're fairly stable and sane. Whereas our world, it's like, we were using that tool last week. This week, no one uses that tool anymore. We got a whole new process for that. By the way, the language you thought you were going to be learning, we just completely changed it. I find that fun and exhilarating, and it's one of the reasons I'm in the career that I'm in. It's because I like that level of change and that that pace. But it can be a real culture shock or future shock for a lot of these folks. But if they can get past that, then they're often fantastic to train. Now they're often in a tough spot because 2 weeks ago their manager came to them and said, hey, Karen, I know that you've been programming, these back-end systems for the last 10 years, and you're really good at it. Congratulations, you're now a front-end developer. Go figure out what that means.
Right.
And that person often ends up in our class. We don't really have a typical student, but if we did, that would probably be pretty close to it. The other side of that, the folks that are just out of school, a lot of times they don't have that depth, but they have pretty recent skills. And so it's really part of our challenge is to kind of meet people where they live and be relevant and meaningful to their level of experience, their background. And we work really hard on that. For private training, I always conduct a pre-class interview with multiple people that I'm going to be training because I want to know Who are your people? What do you need to know? What are you going to try to do with this? What are the backgrounds of those people? Because, you know, I'm old in this game now. I've done a lot of things across a lot of different platforms, so I can usually build bridges between wherever they are and wherever they're trying to go. It's harder with open enrollment, but even with there, like the first 20 minutes of a class, it's, you know, introductions, and I'll try to suss out a little bit of that background, again, so that I can be relevant to existing experience and help them base where they go on where they've been.
So as part of that discovery, are you finding with Angular 2 it's easier to bring in the .NET and Java developers into the front end because they're able to use TypeScript?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The folks who've been doing JavaScript for a while are other dynamic languages. If you drop types on them, they're like, oh, we were always told types were bad and types were slow, you know, they'd slow down our productivity. We live fast and loose here in dynamic languages world. But the Java and C# folks are like, oh, thank God, finally some sanity has been brought to this space. And neither of those people are right or wrong. It's just it may be a different way for them to approach things. One of the things I really like and impressed by about TypeScript is that once you kind of get over that conceptual hurdle of, wait a minute, my dynamic language now has types added to it, it actually doesn't get in your way if you use it effectively. And if you embrace what it can do for you, you find that it doesn't slow you down. So I often get to watch people have that, you know, realization, wait a minute, this isn't so bad at all. I was told this was going to be terrible, but turns out this is actually kind of handy, and it's not getting nearly as much in my way as I thought it might. The places where it's getting in my way are places that would have been just latent bugs waiting to bite me, you know, 2 days, 2 months down the road.
So what part of that training experience is the most gratifying to you?
There are several, I'm actually thinking of several different particular situations that have happened. Folks that are very new to this world, when they see I can build a real thing, and it's not just all hypothetical. I'm not going to have to spend the next 6 months learning things before I can actually deliver something of value for myself, for my team, for my company, for whatever organization I work with. They very quickly realize, wait a minute, I'm half a day into this, and I can already see how I'm going to be able to use this.
Right.
The other thing that's often rewarding is several times I'll have students in class that they've been trying to kind of make it on their own. They've been off in the weeds, you know, looking at random YouTube videos or whatever, and they come in somewhat demoralized, and I kind of help them homogenize the little bits of knowledge they've already got, connect a lot of the pieces, because they've often picked up a huge amount of syntax and, you know, Stack Overflow posts, so they've cobbled together into something that works, but they have no idea why.
Right.
And I can fill in the meaning behind that and connect those dots, and you can see it happening. When they're like, I've actually had people like interrupt class, just like, oh, I get it. I understand now why they do that thing that I thought was so weird. It totally makes sense now. And that's really rewarding. I often have people, we take feedback from everybody that comes through the class. So we always have very comprehensive feedback. And you see over and over again people saying, you know, I was using this stuff maybe for months, but I had no idea why I was doing the things I was told to do, and this class really filled in the why. So we've learned to turn up the dial on that stuff, that things you might think, well, nobody really needs to understand the behind the scenes, you know, the whole reason we're using a framework, so you don't have to worry about that stuff. That is not true. People really want to understand it. Even if they don't realize they want to understand it, having that knowledge of why things work the way that they do is absolutely critical to a lot of people's ability to use this stuff effectively. And I find it really rewarding when you see those epiphanies begin to happen, just bang, 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 like that one after the other. It's great.
Nice.
Can we talk about your conversation with the Angular team? Like, sort of go into bigger vision of, like, Angular and training.
Sure.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to talk about, too, is are you going to start adapting your training with the Angular CLI?
Absolutely.
Because that's something, too, because that was talked about heavily today and yesterday. And I think a lot of training will be simplified.
It definitely will.
By having that, because it gives you the starting point that's a verified starting point, I think, and then you can go through and explain to people why.
Right.
So do you see a lot of reconfiguration of your training, or is it just another step?
Well, there certainly will be, but fortunately, especially on the Angular 2 side, we are in constant like iteration and refinement on that. We just accepted a long time ago and embraced a long time ago that there was never going to be like, oh, we're done with the curriculum now. It has settled down and we're finished. Even in the Angular One world, we are still constantly revisiting that. Both curricula right now have approximately like 50 example steps within them that are interlinked but not heavily dependent on one another. So it's literally like 50 to 60 tiny little applications that demonstrate a feature or a combination of features. And that means that we have a huge amount of material that you know, we never get through all of it in class. We tell people right up front, we're giving you all this material. Please know that you can take it with you. You'll be able to use this later on. But don't expect that in, you know, 3 very full, very short days, we're going to get through all of these things. With that said, since we have so many steps and they're so very surgical, so very granular, we're constantly like adding new ones, refining the ones that are there, reordering the material. So for example, when .component came into Angular 1.5, oh my God, it was like we had a little celebration and then we just revamped everything. Because even though we had pulled directives as far forward as we possibly could in the material, because we felt that was such a central idea in Angular, when .component was added, the helper was added, so many things got so much cleaner and simpler. Now, that directive material is still in there, but it's now it's further down. It's like details that we don't have to address right up front. And now, literally, within the first 5 to 10 steps, we are talking about components. So, to go back to your original question around like the CLI, early versions of these, especially of the Angular 1 class, were very tooling heavy because they absolutely had to be. If you wanted to do anything, you had to get all of this tool chain installed. And that was often the biggest stumbling block for people, especially in corporate environments where everything is just like sealed in concrete. Right. And the idea, you want to install software on a machine? I'm like, yeah, these are developers. They're going to need tools. Well, we're going to have to go get permission from, you know, the VP in order to... And that was crazy. So we pared down that material as much as we possibly could so the minimum number of tools would get us started. And we had that problem really solved in the Angular 1 environment. Then Angular 2 comes along and we have that problem all over again because you really aren't doing actual Angular 2 development the way I think it's going to be done in the real world unless you have a lot of tooling installed. I mean, TypeScript alone, you've got. Right. That's going to be running in your browser. So there's work you've got to do to get it to be ES5 in the browser. So a lot of that tooling problem came back. Now, we've managed to solve most of it, but you can't make all of it go away. Right. The CLI will be a godsend for that.
That's fantastic.
Because we'll be able to say, yes, there's still tooling involved, but here is the blessed official way that we're going to do it. Now, we already know that we're going to take that CLI work and walk people through the product that the CLI is delivering to you, because we don't want this to be a mystery box. We don't want people to think, oh, I must go through this strange tool that does things that I don't understand in order to develop an application. No, we'll take them through what the tool is doing so that they actually understand what's happening, but we are definitely going to leverage the tool because it means we'll have more time to teach them Angular as opposed to 15 random tools.
Do you find yourself reaching out to like Hans and Misko and those guys to get kind of a peek ahead of what's coming so you can start tooling your training, or is it something that you have to wait, try and get the training out as quick as possible?
Like earlier today, for example, I mean, conferences like this are so fantastic. I think I've been to a couple of actual sessions. I'm here for the hallway track. I'm here to talk to these folks one-on-one because it is so valuable. I had the opportunity, it was so nice of him to do it. A few weeks back, I had an opportunity to sit down with Brad Green for an hour.
He's fantastic.
And just, I'm a number one member of the Brad fan club, and have that kind of conversation with him. Because I told him right up front, I said, every minute that I spend with you does unbelievable good for my students because it gives me insight, it gives me information that I can convey to them that will be directly useful to them. I said, no pressure or anything. Yeah. You know.
Well, unless you can trust it's really an authority useful. Too, right?
Absolutely.
It's coming from Brad.
Yeah. So earlier today, we did like a big version of that. It's funny how this happened. The Oasis Digital, you know, crew of instructors that do the Angular Bootcamp work, we realized a couple of weeks ago, this is going to be the first time we were all physically in the same location. So we're like, we got to take advantage of that. There's the fair day in the middle, and that means that we'll have an opportunity to carve out some time and really like dig in. Because like I said, we are constantly iterating and refining on the material. We really care about the stuff being up to date and relevant to people. So we were going to all get in the same room and just work on this stuff and not have to fight to do it remotely. But we very quickly realized the very conversations that we were going to be having would be so useful to so many other people, and we would love to have their input as well. So we reached out to the guys at ThoughtRAM, reached out to the guys at Angular Class, and began talked to Jules on the Angular team, told her what we had in mind. She's like, yes, I want to be part of that conversation. I'll send people to be part of that conversation. So by the time it was all done, we had, 15, 20 people in a room, far more than just us, just the Angular instructors or the Angular bootcamp instructors, having just a great conversation all about these sorts of things. For example, Angular 2, as wonderful as it is very deliberately agnostic about things like data architecture, how heavily you use observables, whether Redux is a thing you bring into your world or not, or whether you use, the inputs and outputs event model to send things up and down the bucket brigade, all things like that. Well, we have to be able to convey opinions and advice and guidance to our students. The great thing about Angular 2 is it's almost more of a library now than a framework. We can get through the Angular 2 portion of our training pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, these people are there to learn how to build real applications that work in the real world. So what does it mean to use Angular in the real world? We're not just there to teach them syntax. We're there to teach them meaning and relevance. And that's what that conversation was about. And I wish it could have gone 10 hours because it was so useful. We wrapped up by saying, this is the beginning of this conversation. This is nowhere near the end. So Stephen Fluen, who's new to the developer advocacy in Google, and on Jules is part of the team, he was kind enough to attend. He's got all the names. He's going to put together like a group, and we're going to continue to have this conversation. Some people are surprised that I'm like, reaching out to ThoughtRAM, reaching out to Angular Class, because aren't those your competitors? I mean, there is so much to do in this space.
It's about the community.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. We know that a rising tide lifts all boats. The better we get at this stuff, by the instructors, the better we get at it, the better the community, the more the community benefits. And there is approximately an infinite amount of this work to do.
Right.
So I've actually handed off work, and I know we've had the same thing happen to us because there just aren't enough of us to go around.
Yeah.
That fantastic problem to have, but I'm booked through like November at this point. it's crazy.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Awesome. I was joking with Michael at Oasis. I'm like, are you sure? I mean, let's just give ngConf money and then not tell them anything about us, because I'm not sure we can handle any more business right now. Can't we just be a stealth sponsor? He's like, no, we're going to have a banner. I was joking, of course, but it really is crazy how much business there is. One of the nice things is we'll get new instructors out of this conference. One of the banners that we have up at the booth, the sponsor booth, is all about the class. That's the long banner that's there that you would think, okay, they want to get classes. There's another half-size banner that's like, and if you want to be an instructor, please talk to us. And two of the folks that came to that meeting earlier today, there's a good chance they'll become instructors for our class.
Fantastic.
So, that alone made it worth all of us coming here. So, nice. I'm super excited about that.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, as I was talking about the meeting with Brad, at the end of it, as we were finishing lunch, Brad's like, you really like this, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I really like this. This is a great thing to do. I love software development. I love building big systems. But it turns out that having a chance to directly communicate these ideas, these concepts, these tools, these techniques to people and see them being able to use them in their real work is fantastic. And I've had at least 5 former students find me at this conference and say how useful that stuff has been, and that makes it all worth it.
Put it on the gratified list.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks, I really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you very much. Thank you again. Every girl deserves a 9, shining in blue
fluorescent light. Thanks for listening. To find more podcasts, videos, and online conferences, check out modern-web.org or find us on Twitter at modernweb_. See you around the internet.
Oh, my eyes, they can't deceive. Separate partitions interweave. And he'll know that she's for him. Truer than true in Bolian. Script boy and his script girl. Off to a wife, what a lucky guy. bottom, 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 bottom